The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. 14 after 8. I appreciate you being here. Big pebble in the shoe is how the reporting has gone on the Klamath. And I know some people are thinking, well, what does this have to do with us in Southern Oregon? Well, if there can be all sorts of untruths over government and private action that's being done to this particular river, if things aren't as they claim and as they had promoted were going to be, and all the reporting is still talking about wonderful sunshine and angels and puppy dogs and unicorns that are going out there, hey, we can be snowed on anything if they're successful on this. And I have some questions about the Klamath River Dam removal results. And joining me right now is someone who I just recently talked to just a couple of minutes ago. It's Dr. Sari Sommerstrom, retired watershed expert. And by the way, doctor, welcome to the program. Good to have you on.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Could you give us a little bit of your background? I know that you volunteer with the Scott Valley Agriculture Water Alliance. That's AGWA, scottvalleyagwa.org. But give me a little bit of where you come from. And, you know, you're a scientist, and I think you know, a scientific take on it would be appreciated right about now.
Okay, well, thanks for that introduction. My background is in zoology from UC Davis and then graduate work at University of Michigan in water resources management. And I've been working as a self-employed consultant since the mid-70s at Lake Tahoe in the North Coast. I've been dealing with trying to get salmon restoration since 1978. In Mendocino County, Eel River, and Russian River, and I moved to Scott Valley in 1988. I've always been self-employed. I work on small consulting projects, often for government agencies, but also for private sector also, and do research, pull together existing data, also try to get collaboration and get consensus on what does the data mean. I think that's really important because people can be all over the place and just can't find a way to agree. So we've been working on that here in the Scott River since early 1990s. And some of those efforts successfully, like on forest management and resolving some of those causes and effects. And the water issue has been more challenging. Again, we've had some good progress, but we're very concerned. We didn't really get involved directly in the dam removal here. On the Scott is a major tributary of the Klamath River. About river mile 140 from the mouth of the Klamath of the ocean. Iron Gate Dam is about river mile 190. Shasta River's in between about river mile 160. I'm just giving approximates in there. And so when the dam was going to be removed, we didn't really get actively involved in these two tributaries because, well, that's not our issue. You know, it wasn't our issue. We don't have dams to remove on our tributaries here. So, but now, the side effect of the dam removal has really, really got us concerned because it's impacting our fish runs.
What has happened in your neighborhood? So, once again, Iron Gate was at 190. You said milepost 190, so to speak, on the river, right?
Yeah.
Is that measured from the ocean then, 190 miles up? Is that what that means?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, river
miles. Okay, river miles. All right. So, 190. And where the Scott Valley, where the Scott River comes in, is where is that now?
Roughly river mile 140, 142, somewhere in there.
Okay, where is Happy Camp, according to that?
Stream, and I don't have that river mile memorized, but it's Orleans is the next stream down. Syed Valley is a gauge just below us, and then Orleans comes in where the Salmon River comes in, and then Happy Camp's below that.
Okay. The reason I brought this up is that I had a listener, Mark, who had gathered a real turbid, nasty water sample in the middle of the Klamath River channel at Happy Camp. This was a couple of weeks ago, and I had the chemical analysis done, and it came back from Grants Pass Water Lab, and amazingly turbid, huge amounts of suspended solids, huge amounts of aluminum and various other things that now I know that aluminum is a naturally occurring element.
Right.
It's a big part of that. But, you know, 1,800 times the level in drinking water, I can't think would be great for fish health either. And there's just so many things here that seem to be wrong with that. And I'm reading stories, though, that are talking about the fish are coming back up to the Iron Gate, Oregon Public Broadcasting coming up there. And I don't know, is there some magic clear areas of this river right now that I'm unaware of? And
not on the main stem. The Trinity River is a major tributary, and it is relatively clear.
Okay.
It's pretty much a hatchery-dominated fish run. The Klamath main stem is not as dominated by hatchery fish.
It's not. Okay.
So it's a little different, certainly a significant amount. So right now, no, and the mouse is not so clean either. I've been looking at some of the Klamath Fish Health Assessment Team, KFAT. You can look at their website also, have weekly reports. And the UROC down at the mouth of the Klamath were reporting stress on the fish there and slime on the gills due to the sediment. So we're seeing some symptoms on the fish. The fish come up and spawn this time of year, the fall Chinook run. They die after spawning. So if you see a carcass in the Klamath right now, it's going to be normal. Mm-hmm. But you don't know if it died on the way up to spawning or it died after spawning.
Ah. Okay. Can you tell? Is there any way to tell if you were to like do a necropsy on the fish?
You can see if their eggs are still there or not.
Oh, okay. All right.
But they also might have spawned way downstream because they just saw this mud coming down and just said, I can't keep going up through there, and they'll spawn way downstream instead of their native areas, which is the Shasta River is a major spawning tributary. Ranges from 10% to 30% of the main stem Klamath proportion of natural run non-hatchery fish. And right now we have the California Department of Fish and Wildlife has a video weir near the mouth of the Shasta River, and only 60 adult Chinook have come up so far during the prime of their fish run, their spawning run. Normal is 6,000.
Whoa!
We're talking 1% is all that's come back as of last week. September into the first week of October is the peak of their run. And so that's just a shocker. And we're just calling this a possible tragedy of losing that major producer of natural Chinook. And it's been silence. The Scott Run, downstream for lots of reasons. The Scott Run is always a month later than the Shasta River Run, so it really comes in through October. So we're still hoping that the Scott Run wasn't as decimated as the Shasta Run. But this sediment has been coming in persistently through August, in the 2000 range at USGS gauge there at Syed Valley. And you can just look up at that data. And so my concern is that we're not even discussing this. Everyone knew that there was a lot of sediment stored behind the four dams. There was going to be sediment in the river.
Well, originally the plan had been to remove the rivers, but to dredge the sediment and take it away safely first because of the concerns about this, correct?
Well, not all of it. It's just so many truckloads, you know.
Yeah.
Dump trucks, 10 tons, 10 cubic yards. It's just, there's so many. I can't remember the exact figure. It's so huge. So only right now, USGS, U.S. Geological Survey says only 30% of the stored sediment has flushed out. We still have 70% to go.
Wow.
And we have this much impact. It's just, to me, the dams are removed. It's a done deal. It's a huge scientific experiment and a restoration experiment. The goal, I thought, was to restore salmon, a native salmon run as far up as it could get. There's still dams at Keno and Link River. They have fish ladders over them, but, it's free flowing, quote unquote, below those dams with some diversions and water storage above those. it's just not, the truth in packaging to me in the story is the saying we knew we were going to have challenges in the dam removal. The physical removal and the legal challenges have been overcome of removing the physical structures. But now we have this biological issue that has not been resolved, and it's causing some issues. Sediment is serious on adult spawning coming up and then on the survival of any eggs that are laid in the main stem. So it's a huge portion of the run. Like I said, Shasta River's run is naturally 6,000 fish on the average. The main stem Klamath below Iron Gate down to Happy Camp is around 6,000 fish also. I can't predict that there's going to be any survival of any eggs laid in that muddy.
But needless to say, Dr. Sommerstrom, by the way, Sari Sommerstrom, PhD, is with me this morning. And needless to say, this level of dissolved solids or suspended solids in now what is the difference between, let's say, turbidity and total suspended solids? Because I'm looking here, the sample that we got at Happy Camp. Now, this is 2 weeks ago that this was taken, right? But it was like 3,100 milligrams of total suspended solids per milliliter. So it's like more than three grams. That's a lot of stuff, though, in the water, isn't it?
It is huge. And I did a sediment study on the Scott River in the early 90s when the big concern was how much the sediment from the logging roads was impacting the survival of eggs here. And the Scott River doesn't have the silts and the clays, like the geology of the main stem Klamath. And so the sand here is a different impact, and the silts and the clays that stay in suspended suspension, like you say, the SSC, suspended sediment concentration. And that's where you can take these turbidity units. Turbidity is a measure of how much light penetrates the water.
Okay, so
and there are different ways to measure that. So the Karuk samples are in one unit, and the USGS units are in a different one. So they're not directly comparable, but the higher the number, the worse it is in terms of concentration.
Doctor, is there a level of the suspended solids level that you know that you're starting to affect the returning fish health and the spawn and the ability of fish to be able to reproduce, given that everything about this was supposedly about restoring fish? And is there like a barometer of when you start seeing problems? You said you did a study on the Scott.
Yeah, it wasn't a suspended sediment. It was a deposited finds in the gravels where the eggs are and how much it would take to smother the eggs. And so suspended sediment, you know, there's various studies, and I'm sorry, I don't have those numbers off the top of my head, but this is serious.
Yeah, I know, but this is kind of, I'm just asking kind of a spitballing. I understand it's that we're going to play a little fast and loose with the numbers, may not be exact, but maybe just a range of when you start seeing trouble in a river.
Well, I can just tell you from a fishing point of view, the fishermen, bait fishermen, fly fishermen, you know, whatever, lure, they don't like it when it gets over 50 because the fish can't see their lure. So that's when I've seen them just starting to complain, something's wrong here.
Is that 50 in turbidity or 50 something else?
50 turbidity units.
Oh, okay. Well, right now that sample that we had was 531. Yeah.
Right.
More than 10 times
it's gone up as high as 4,000 in the last few weeks.
Wow.
At our state. And then the samplers get fouled up too. There's so much sediment, the samplers just can't keep up with it. So so people can look at the data on a daily basis on the USGS. Just Google Klamath River gauge at, and you can do Iron Gate, or you can say at Syed Valley, or you could say at Orleans. Those shows you the downstream changes. And they go up and down, but they've been pretty consistently high here. And it's that the fish have evolved with some sediment. As we all know, this is sediment comes down here in floods, and they've evolved with this. But mostly short-term, peaks, and then it goes down. And they can hang out in some clear tributaries, like the mouth of the Scott River. They can hang out there while that sediment plume goes by. But for weeks and weeks and weeks, when they're basically dying, they're having to come and spawn and then die. You know, they're on their way out as they come up to spawn. So that's distressing them. And so that level, most of the studies have been done on the eggs rather than the adult spawners coming up. And so that's why I was asking also, well, who's doing studies on the stress level of these fish and tag them at the mouth and see how far they get up? That could have been done, and I don't know of anyone doing that. You can put fish tags on them and see where you find that carcass.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. Is there a possibility, I know this is, I'm asking for a speculation, could it be that the system doesn't want to know?
Well, they are collecting the data. They claim reports are coming out at the end of the season. In the meantime, So the data will be there. Several different agencies, federal, state, and tribal, are involved in this data. I would hope truth in packaging is what we all want to go for. It's just right now, it's the press releases, like you say, the ones you keep seeing in the newspapers nationally. They're going New York Times and everything.
Everything is painting such a happy picture. And it's just,
exactly.
And I've never felt so gaslit on a on an environmental issue. That now I'm not a doctor with your with your credentials about the study of this, but just as a common sense guy looking at that at the water quality results that I'm getting, I can't see. I don't know what Oregon Public Broadcasting is reporting about fish now making it past the Iron Gate. I don't know how that could be.
Well, maybe a couple, or, it takes two to tango, so it has to be to even have any, whether the gravels have too much fines in them, so the eggs won't survive anyways. I mean, physically now they can get above the dam. Physically, they should be able to. But it's only the hatchery fish that are imprinted to go beyond that, because that's where the hatchery was, right below the old dam.
Oh, okay.
So it'd be mostly hatchery stock at this point in time that would even be trying to get up, past River Mile 190. They're hoping eventually that the natural fish will want to, and there's always a roaming gene. That's how they've survived over the thousands and millions of years, is they'll roam and try a new spot that they hadn't tried before. And so eventually they might want to go up, as far as Keno Dam or whatever. It's pretty steep up there. Fall Chinook don't like steep ground. Steelhead do. And so which species can access the really steep area. So this is just the Chinook we're talking about, which is a major commercial fishery, and I feel for them and the tribal commercial fishery of the Yurok at the mouth. They've been shut down for several years with the numbers of fish down, not just in the Klamath, but pretty much west coast wide, south of Columbia. It's been not very good for lots of reasons. And so, but there has been a blame game, and the dams were one of the blame, and definitely they blocked the passage. But it's just, to me, truth in packaging. If they had just said, we're happy we've gotten the legal and physical access, now we have to make sure we've got the biological results, and we're going to have a challenge here, a water quality challenge, because there is so much sediment and nobody has ever dealt with this for a long river, 190 miles to get to the ocean to flush that sediment out. And unlike the Elwha Dam, you probably heard about that dam, Bill, that went up on the peninsula. And that was removed 12 years ago or so. And short, I think it was like a 40-mile distance from the dam to the a fairly steep stream and 80 inches of rainfall in the headwater. So that sediment flushed out relatively quickly. As you can picture, steep, it'll go out fast, flat. You know how flat the river is here, between Wairika.
We don't have that rapid flow that would take that that out. How many years do you think it might take, in your scientific opinion, to flush all of this sediment out?
I haven't done that calculation. They've supposedly analyzed that in the environmental impact statement. It's really a wild ass guess at this point in time. I mean, you can do models as best you can. I'm not saying it's totally a wild ass, but it's scientific wild ass. Their best judgment, because this is an experiment. And if I was an academic, I would love to study this as a study, and there's a lot of people, sure doing theses and dissertations on this whole process right now. In the meantime, though, it behooves the project proponent to be honest about what is happening during this process. And that's what bothers me the most, is that we're not being honest with the public about the complications of this very huge effort to supposedly restore salmon. In the meantime, the salmon are being severely impacted. And whether it's 10, 20, 30, 40 years in the future, our tributaries, the Scott and the Shasta River, are under state regulations right now for water management. And the metric of our success is how many salmon return, not just whether we get the flows in the summertime or whenever time they think it's important, it's how many fish come back. And now that is a judgment factor that is totally being skewed.
It's being skewed by forces outside your control, right? Because this was not...
A good way to put it.
Yeah, directly impacting you. So just to be clear that in this particular, in this Scott Valley, this run here, only one out of 100 have made it back so far.
Right? No, you're talking about the Shasta River.
The Shasta River. Okay.
Shasta River. Yeah, 1%, one out of 100 that would be expected at this time of year has returned. And the Scott has only gotten like two fish so far.
And what's the normal by this time?
This is early. So they peak at the end of October. So it's really too early to say how the Scott River one has been impacted, but the Shasta River one, which is upstream, an earlier run. I know it doesn't seem right that an upstream run would be earlier, but it's spring-fed. Mount Shasta feeds the Shasta River, the springs coming out of the mountain there. So it's an earlier run. So the timing is different. But the Shasta River has always been the biggest Chinook producer in this part of the Klamath, higher than the Salmon River even, which comes in there near Orleans. So they're very different producers, different habitat. Scott River is snow melt fed, and it's a really good coho salmon producer. It's an okay Chinook, but it has good habitat for coho. That run comes in late October, November. So we're worried about that one. That one is actually listed as threatened on the Endangered Species Act. And I'm concerned because they react to rain. They tend to come up when there's a pulse of, cold water and flows from a rain event that triggers the coho to move upstream. Well, guess what? If we have a rain event on this sediment that's, on the banks, from this drawdown of the reservoirs, there's just going to be another flush of mud just when the coho are coming up. I know they've tried to revegetate those mud flats, but that takes years to get, cover to keep that sediment in place, especially clays and silts. They don't settle out. You got to get a good ground cover. So rain, I'm just concerned this year could be horrific and I'm hoping I'm wrong. I really am. I'm not like to be in the prediction phase, but I like to be in the assessment and have our eyes open, ask the right questions, which I wish the reporters would do. Frankly, I'm just very disappointed in all these reporters just taking the press releases and not digging deeper like you are, asking questions about, what does this really mean? What's the other side of the story?
Yeah. Dr. Sari Sommerstrom, I appreciate you having come on this morning. I had a quick, just an opinion. It's not a scientific, maybe it is a scientific opinion or so. What has concerned me about the removal of the Klamath dams is not that it wasn't an inhibitor of natural fish progression, but if it was truly about fish health, that it seemed that it would have been smarter to have improved salmon travel or fish travel over those dams and have kept the infrastructure, kept the ability to keep the water cool in the summertime, which the Klamath normally does not really naturally do, as I'm sure you probably agree on that. And like the salmon cannon, those various inventions from like Woosh Enterprises up in Seattle, in which you electronically look at the fish, you boost the fish over the dam, life's good. It was truly about fish health. Was I wrong to think that way? If this is what it was really all about,
they have looked into fish ladders. I mean, even when they initially built Iron Gate Dam in the early '60s, it is fish ladders don't always work, and those were very tall dams, especially at the Iron Gate.
And I agree, but I was thinking of Woosh, which was takes the fish pushes them over the land over
I've seen
it.
For small dams, that would work. These are too big.
Ah.
A lot of hands-on, a lot of labor expense, and some mortality during that. I don't think there was an alternative that way.
All right. I'm really curious, though, that if we'll end up having caused more trouble than we've solved.
I mean, to me, the goal is fish restoration and improving the numbers in the Klamath, and not just that the end point was dam removal. That was a means to an end. And so I just hope we still have that end goal of how do we get the fish restored and acknowledge the issues that are causing that not to happen as quickly as they would like. And just seeing a couple of salmon above River Mile 190 is not success. So I guess I have a different definition of success. So maybe that is, how do we clarify what is the definition of success on salmon restoration in the Klamath? And that's why I was saying, how do we get together, look at the facts, and is the glass half empty, is the glass half full? What is going on? And what are the side effects that weren't even anticipated. You know, that's if we're going to learn anything, we've got to learn from this story, if nothing else. But be honest and not mislead the public that everything's hunky-dory.
And that seems to be the major takeaway from you, Doctor, is that be honest about what is actually happening there. And we're not getting the truth about it, or a lot of it is, seems to be suppressed. And it's odd, even me just trying to share alternative stories about what is happening on the Klamath and the Shasta and various others seem to be restricted by social media and various other issues. Has your work been restricted? Have you found that happening at all? Just curious.
Well, I just say avoided. It's the elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about because the energy, the political and social energy has been dam removal, and it found like a giant project when it was first proposed over 20 years ago. I was in the room when this was first discussed at one of these Klamath Fisheries Task Force meetings, and they said, oh, no, that couldn't be done. And everyone thought, and then it's happened. So the people that have been involved with this for 20 years just think this is a miracle that four big dams, you know, have been removed. That's the story they are so excited about, but they're forgetting. And I'm not doing the blame game thing here, whether it's, you know, it's just they're so excited about this that they're forgetting the rest of the story. But good science means you have the whole story. That's the point I'm trying to make. And when I've brought this up at joint flow call meetings here, nobody will discuss this. They're just saying, oh, we're collecting the data and we'll see about it later. And in the meantime, the fish numbers coming up here are being severely impacted, as we can tell just by the data we've collected so far, and yet no one will talk about that. That's the point. It's just like, can we be honest, please? That's good science. That gives you credibility. Whoever you are is getting there out in the open and discussing that. That's what good science is about, not avoiding.
Dr. Sari Sommerstrom, PhD, we appreciate you coming on, and I have a feeling we're going to have you back on for another talk at some point, but thanks for at least the current analysis of what we're seeing right now. All right?
Okay.
You be well.
Okay. I'm retired, remember?
Okay, well, retired. All right. But I'm still glad you took the time, all right? Thank you, Doctor.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Bye. It's 841. This is KMED 99.3 KBXG. If you're turning 65 soon and need to learn about Medicare and your options for supplemental coverage, Lynn at Sky Park Insurance can help. Just ask Karen.
Hi. I spent 45 plus years in the health industry, so I wanted someone with expert knowledge. Lynn either knew the answer or got right back to me with details. She went the extra mile. Thanks, Lynn.
Sky Park makes Medicare enrollment easy. Enroll or review your plan with Lynn Barton at Sky Park Insurance. Call 541-499-0958. Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford. NoWiresNow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided by Dish.
We're thrilled to announce we're back with our Veterans Metal Roof Giveaway. After the joy of giving away our first roof, we're honoring veterans with a free custom metal roof. One deserving veteran will win this amazing gift absolutely free. Don't delay. Enter now. The contest ends November 5th. Winner will be chosen on Veterans Day. Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc., where quality and community come together. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com for entries, details, and rules.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Always appreciate you listening, no matter the time. Live 6 to 9 weekdays on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KBXG. I'm here for you. But life has a way of getting busy, so if you miss a show and you want to catch up, or you just have a different schedule, well, that's what my podcasts are for. The last 3 months or so of my shows available for free download and sharing on KMED.com or BillMeyerShow.com. Podcasts are sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They're helping keep you current. Find out about their services on ClouserDrilling.com.
This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Meyer Show.
Ran a little long with the good doctor from Northern California, but I think it was well worth the conversation. We're trying to make sure that podcast gets around for sure here. Jim is in Grants Pass. Hello, Jim. What's on your mind?
Well, good morning. Yeah, I was listening to the whole interview, and the one thing that was absent was that when I was I studied the Kiewit, which is the AE that was involved in this thing, architect engineer, and they came out with about a 4-inch document. And one of the chapters, it was the civil engineering chapter, and where they actually talk about when J.C. Osborne discovered that there was a 130-foot lava tube going across right about where, just upstream from Iron Gate.
Yeah, the natural lava dam that would have blocked Fish Passage naturally,
yeah.
Right?
And the basically what that showed, and so they confirmed what he had found, and it was in that document. And I, I told Cliff Bentz about it, and I says it's never happened. There's never been salmon up in the Sprague River. Mm-hmm. It never happened because of that lava flow. That lava flow happened, eons ago, as you know. And so I just wish that would have been part of the conversation.
Well, there would have been, of course. This is the. That lava tube issue, which Captain Bill Simpson had talked about, too, with me several times, I guess, this is why I refer to it as the magic fish. You know, the magic fish that supposedly made it over the 140-foot lava flow, which never happened. But there was such politics. There was such politicized science on this one, Jim. Thank you for sharing that, though. Okay, 770-5633. And let me grab next line here. Hi, good morning. Welcome.
Darren Thornton.
Hi, Darren. How are you?
Hey, good. 40 years of driving up and down I-5 past Shasta Lake, both bridges, get a good view of the level of lake, and you sometimes can see the old train tunnel on the north end. I remember these so-called experts, highly paid people that said, oh God, doom and gloom, the end of the world, all the fish are going to die. It's going to be 10 years before we get this lake filled. One quarter of a season, late fall or late winter, early spring, lake was back after tons of rainfall, back to 80%, 90%. So I have zero any type of value to these so-called experts out there predicting this and that and this. And it seems like they're very reactionary and not proactive.
And so this comes into even what Dr. Sommerstrom was talking about here, that this was an agenda-based process, really, is what she was alluding to. That the dam removal was the ends to it, was the means to an end, rather than really about fish health, because they didn't consider the downside of what they were doing. I appreciate the call, and thanks for making that, all right? It's 8:47 in a segment sponsored by Valley View Nursery. Valley View Nursery, the only nursery here in Southern Oregon that has online pricing, and it's pretty simple. You just head to valleyviewnursery.com. Check it out. And you'll find out that Valley View Nursery is closer than you think.
Artisan Bakery Cafe invites you to swing by for their mouth-watering fall treats. Apple strudel, a flaky delight that's pure comfort on a plate. Pumpkin streusel muffins, the perfect blend of spice and sweetness. And delicious pumpkin loaf, rich and moist with a hint of cinnamon. But wait, there's more. Apple blossoms, an apple pie cup with an apple crisp topping. Swing by Tuesday through Friday from 7 to 3 and Saturday from 8 to 3. Artisan Bakery Cafe, 1325 Center Drive across from South Fred Meyer. Also, order on DoorDash.
Your smile is the key to your health and confidence. Did you also know that research has concluded people have almost as much fear about finding a new dentist as they do about going to the dentist? Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Johnson, and here at Dental Excellence, we value the confidence and trust our patients have in us. My 20 years of experience in thorough training equals comprehensive dental care. From creating that perfect filling or doing that perfect root canal in my dental microscope to restoring a patient's confidence with implant-supported dentures, we can do it all here at Dental Excellence. For those who need, I am highly trained and certified in IV sedation and the art of creating a comfortable, relaxed, stress-free environment. Are you looking for friendly, compassionate, personal care? Come and join our excellent dental family.
Call 541-779-6170 today for a free consultation. Dental Excellence.
Dental Excellence. Changing lives, one smile at a time.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is sponsored by Fontana Roofing. For roofing, gutters, and sheet metal services, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
I'm Claudette Moore, former Medford City Councilperson.
My name's Terry Baker, and I'm the mayor of Phoenix.
I'm Dave Wright with CPM Real Estate Services, and I support Randy Sparacino.
I'm supporting Randy Sparacino.
I support Randy Sparacino for Jackson County Commissioner. I've known Randy Sparacino for several years. He was chief of police in Medford, now he's mayor of Medford, and he's doing a fantastic job running that city, keeping it safe, and helping as many people as he can.
Vote Randy Sparacino for Jackson County Commissioner. Paid for by Sparacino for Oregon, ID 20676.
If you haven't picked up your copy of Bicoastal Media's 2024 Best of Southern Oregon magazine presented by Dusty's Transmissions, you can pick up a copy at many locations, including Food for Less, Sherm's Thunderbird Market, Dairy Queen on Biddle Road, Albertsons on West Main, The Point in Central Point, Holiday Jewelry, Organic Elements Spa, and Edenvale Winery. You can also visit bestofsouthernoregon.com to view the magazine online and see Southern Oregon's best suppliers of goods and services. That's bestofsouthernoregon.com.
The Bill Myers Show is on News Talk 106.3 KMED.
Charisse is here from No Wires Now on Open for Business. Charisse, how are you going to save us some money this morning? Welcome back. Charisse, it might help if I push your button. There you go. Now you're on. Welcome, Charisse. How are you?
Hi. Hi, everyone. Good morning. Good. I'm doing great.
Okay. Glad
sitting
to hear
out it. In the sun by the river, and it's a beautiful, beautiful day.
Beautiful day. By the way, I'm going to give you Charisse's text message, her number, so you can call or text message her at 541-680-5875. NoWiresNow.com, of course, is the website. And you have the main bricks and mortar place. It's on Biddle Road in Medford, but you serve people all over Southern Oregon, Northern California. You're out there. Your husband is out doing the installs, and you are about saving people money on cell phone, on television, all sorts of things, right?
Yes, and the internet.
And the internet, too. By the way, someone wanted me to ask you, what's going to happen now that we have Dish and DirecTV merging? Is that causing any things? Is that something we had to be concerned about, or what?
Well, let me tell you what, that was a shocker to me. I was freaking out. But I don't know if you guys remember this, but remember when DirecTV sold to AT&T?
Yes.
What ended up happening with that? Prices went down. Mm-hmm. Okay. I was still selling it. I'm going to still be selling the product until, I guess, you know, it goes away. But, it kind of is like that. So, you know, just basically DirecTV owns both. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure how that whole thing's going to work. I still believe Dish's equipment is way better than DirecTV's equipment.
Yeah, I would agree. Sure. I've been a customer of both, okay? And, and so that's why I wanted to, but I just wanted to make sure that it's not like Dish is going away, right? But you're still going to save money and get better. In fact, you have a deal right now if you switch to Dish this month, right?
Right.
And,
But
you have to mention my name. My name is worth something, all right? So at least over at No Wires Now it is. So you mention my name, and what do you give them?
Okay, so normally I do the $100 Visa card for the month of October. If you sign up with Dish or Direct, actually it has to be just Dish.
Dish.
You get a $200 Visa card. So if you're getting that $500 Visa card offer in the mail from Dish, I'm also going to give you $200. So you're going to get $700.
On top of that. All right. So
you
would be silly not to do the switch. And and you help people save money no matter what their service. I know that you've helped my mother on Spectrum get her Spectrum bill down. It's really worked well.
Yes. So I got her internet from $84.99 to $30. So if you just have just internet and you just stream, you can still call me. I'll still help you lower your internet bill.
Okay. Now, if you bring in a copy of your Spectrum bill, cell phone bill, or Direct bill, you can get an entry in a drawing, too, because you're giving away a brand new television, too. You got a little contest going on, right?
Yes. So October 17th, I'm having a customer appreciation party all day long. So we're in the morning, we start with the chamber event. They're going to do like a ribbon cutting. And I've had people call me and they're like, haven't you been in business for a long time? Yes. But I just started, you know, selling Spectrum, and I became a premier retailer. So they asked me to put on an event to let people know, hey, there's not just the Spectrum store over by Cracker Barrel anymore. There's also one over on the north side of town. That would be me. If you need help with Spectrum, you don't have to wait in line for 2 hours. You can come in my store. I'll help you with your Spectrum. I'll even help you lower it. I'll help you take your equipment back, you know, all that kind of stuff. So come in the month of October, bring me a copy of your bill. You get to enter into the drawing. I'm going to have a Best Buy gift card. I'm going to be giving away a TV. I'm going to be giving away Dutch Bros gift cards.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, do keep in mind prizes. That no purchase is necessary, right? You follow all those rules and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I think you're going to want. I think you're going to want to work with Charisse though, because you've been saving money for so many people for so long. I think people really enjoy talking with you. And by the way, you also have a free cell phone service available for a year with a new Spectrum service too. So you're helping everybody out here. How's that work?
Yeah. So if you sign up as a new brand new customer through Spectrum, I can get you the internet for $30, mm-hmm. and I can get you your cell phone free for a year. And if you're a Bill Meyer listener, you also get a free phone. I have free phones for Bill Meyer listeners also. So if you need a new phone, give me a call. I'll give you a brand new phone.
Okay, now restrictions apply. Talk to Charisse over at No Wires, and she'll tell you all the other stuff. You know, because sometimes the service is not available in a particular neighborhood. You know how that works. But one way or the other, you are helping people save money. Get in touch with her. You can text message her at 541-680-5875. Text message the bill. Bring the bill down to 1560 Biddle Road, Suite B in Medford, when the store is open. And, of course, is that where you're going to have the, you know, the big party? The big party when you do that?
Yes.
Okay.
October 17th from 10 to 2. I'm supposed to be having mariachi music, possibly. We'll be having... You know, hors d'oeuvres.
So it'll be like Cinco of October then is what you're going to do, right? You're going to do that party then. Okay.
Well, I just hired a really awesome guy named Neri. And if he's listening, hi, Neri. Hope you had fun in Portland. And he speaks Spanish. And so if you're a Spanish, there was a Spanish listener last phone call and they came into our store and Neri happened to be there. So if you speak Spanish, you want to talk to him, come in the store. He'll help you.
All right. Very good. Once again, all sorts of deals available at No Wires Now. NoWiresNow.com, 1560 Biddle Road, Suite B in Medford's by Cigar Cave. Call or text message 541-680-5875. Thanks for being on Open for Business, Charisse. Thanks for saving people money.
Thanks, Bill.
Okay? All right.
Bye-bye.
And by the way, if you forgot any of that, just email Bill@BillMeyerShow.com, and I'll get you set up, get you hooked up. Okay? It's 856. Back to the phones. Let's talk with a gentleman. You wanted to talk about something on the Rogue River on dam removal, right? Go ahead.
Yes, sir. So I've fished the Rogue for multiple decades. We watched them take out the Savage Rapids and the Gold Ray Dam, and we saw an immense amount of sediment the same way they did with the Klamath. But if you look at ODFW numbers, the salmon have only declined since they took out those dams. They actually have articles about the tragedy of the Spring Chinook on the Rogue. And they already had a precedent set. They knew what was going to happen when they took these dams out. So going forth with it, I just wonder if there was some kind of ulterior motive in taking these dams out beyond, you know, salmon was the mask and they have some other reason that they wanted these gone.
Well, in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, so take it for what it's worth, this is about deindustrializing. It's about deindustrializing and fostering chaos because, let's be honest, you know, dam, especially hydroelectric power, provides a lot of benefit. And those dams on the Klamath, as an example, provided, you know, it was never about hydroelectric power. It was about the beneficial use of water. And part of the chaos from our Democrat communisms is to make sure that we never enjoy any beneficial use of much of anything. What do you think about that?
That would be more on key with what I see. Because all the spawning grounds right below, right there just below Grant's Pass, all those filled in with sediment, and where I'd take people through on my boat and my raft and say, hey, look down, there's 500 salmon spawning right there. They're gone. They haven't been there since they took the dams out.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate the call. Thanks for making it. 858. And if you're on hold, I'll try to get to squeeze you in here before Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins kick in. Okay? It's 858.
We're here with Susan, who had her well drilled by Clouser Drilling. Susan, what made you choose Clouser?
I checked around town, asked friends of mine who they had used, and Clouser came up every time. A number one, from realtors to actual residences.
And what stood out to you?
Everything, frankly. From when they first arrived, locating the water, walking the property, the site selection. They were very methodical, very careful. I was impressed with their entire approach.
Visit ClouserDrilling.com.
Hi, it's John at Welburn's Weapons. The only thing better than shooting is shooting with a suppressor. Welburn's is Southern Oregon's suppressor headquarters, stocking models from Silencer Code, Dead Air, Griffin Armament, Rugged, Q, Thunderbeast, and many more. And we can order practically any suppressor on the market. Check in with us for monthly incentives to save on suppressors, too. Come see the suppressor experts. Welburn's Weapons on Crater Lake Highway, just south of White City.
Confused about Medicare Advantage plans? Sweeping changes to Medicare are coming next year due to the Inflation Reduction Act. You're invited to the Medicare Advantage Fair on Tuesday, October 8th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Medford Armory, hosted by Futurity First. Medicare's annual election period starts October 15th. Beware of call centers and advertising offering plans that aren't available in our area. This event offers Medicare Advantage plans for Josephine and Jackson counties, featuring WellCare, Atrio, United Healthcare, Regents, Aetna, and AllCare, and is hosted by Futurity First, your one stop for retirement needs. The Medicare Advantage Fair at the Medford Armory on Tuesday, October 8th from 9 to 3 with breakout sessions each hour from 10 to 2. Plus, the VA will have a session at noon for veterans benefits. Get answers about the changes from local providers and get accurate information to choose the right plan. Visit MedicareMadeForYou.org or call 541-973-2100, extension 3 for more information.
Hi, I'm Michael with Gage of Construction, and I'm on KMED.
9 o'clock, KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point Medford and KBXG Grants Pass. Have time for a couple Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday calls as we wrap up. You talk with Not-So-Crazy Gene. You've been very patient, Gene. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just wondering if you'd seen the Divergent movies.
The Divergent movie? No, I have not. Can you give me a thumbnail sketch in about 30 seconds?
It's all about divide and conquer in the future after World War III.
Oh, okay, well, gosh, they've been working that already. It's kind of like a pre-war.
Yeah, it'll give you a little taste of things to come.
All right, and where can you get that, you know?
Showtime,
all right. Appreciate the call.
You're welcome.
Stay crazy, or not so crazy as the case might be. Let me go to my Slovenian brother of another mother. That would be Brad. How you doing, Brad?
Here's a hey, silly brother.
What's on your mind?
Thank you
huh?
so much for being a source of information that I can trust.
Well, that's very kind of you.
No, but it's true. Now, in history, and I know you're a history guy, do you know who Joseph Goebbels was?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what he was famous for saying?
Well, let's see. There were many things he was famous for saying, but one of the ones that I recall was that the people can always be brought to war. Was that the quote you were speaking of?
No.
No. Okay, which one?
The most powerful element of government when it comes to information is Joseph Goebbels' statement. You tell a lie 1,000 times.
Oh.
It becomes the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
How pertinent is that to our culture?
Well, even look at what we've been talking about quite a bit this morning. It's not that I wanted to wake up and do a lot of conversation about the Klamath Dam removal because it's a fait accompli. We're not bringing that back anytime soon, as far as I know. But yet, the lie and the big lie, the continuing selling of the big lie is just astounding to me. And it's just, you know, if we weren't living through it, people would think we were nuts for making the claims that we are right now.
We are living in a local reaction to Love Canal.
Mm-hmm.
It's Love Canal in our backyard.
Exactly. I appreciate the call. And if you forget about Love Canal, look it up. I know it happened a number of years ago, but yep, it was a true environmental tragedy, all right? Thank you, my friend. The email, Bill, at BillMeyerShow.com. We'll talk again. Wheels up Wednesday.